This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
See you live off the record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Cheval Golang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. From the family islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. A couple of things today I found interesting and I'd like to comment upon today. There are still reverberations coming from the Saturday FNM convention, and the aftermath of that, as folks mull over both the results of the FNM's elections and the events of the convention night itself, including all of the speeches and so forth. There have been commentary from on the PLP side, there's been commentary on the FNM side, and there's commentary coming from none of those sides, but from other folks. One of those commentaries is featured in the Nassau Guardian today, its editorial section entitled "Pintard Off to an Uninspiring Start." And I read the editorial, and while I think the editorial does make some valid observations, I thought it was unfairly harsh, unreasonably harsh, and that some of its observations, to my mind, are not consistent with what one should read on an occasion like that, much less judging somebody's leadership ability on the basis of one speech. So I thought to comment on some of the things that the editorial had to say. Let's start with the caption. Caption says, "Pintard off to an uninspiring start." Well, in whose mind? Of course, if the editor or the editorial writers believe so and they were not inspired, that's possible. You can have people who listen to a speech deemed inspiring by others. I listened to the speech. I listened to others as they listened to the speech. They applauded, they clapped. I listened to people who commented on the speech, who texted into the show about the speech and what the speech did for them. I read some yesterday. So you can listen and be inspired to a speech that others would listen to and not be inspired. So who gets to judge whether it's inspiring or not? It's the listener. And in the instance of the writers here, the editorial writers of this piece, they didn't deem so. Okay, fair enough. That's fine. That's possible. I'm sure, for instance, lots of folks who have no interest in the FNM's victory or the FNM's advancement, who are opposed to the FNM, might also think that it's not inspiring. They could think that. That doesn't mean you have to be opposed in order to not find it inspiring. I'm just saying you can listen to something and not be inspired by it for multiple reasons. One, you have no interest in being inspired. Two, you were not inspired, right? But there are others who, because they have an interest in being inspired, they're supporters of the FNM, supporters of Michael Trindade, then they get inspired, right? Because inspiration is very personal. Inspiration isn't some dust, fairy dust that's floating in the sky. It's a very personal thing for people. And you, as a speaker, you strive. Every speech isn't given to inspire at all. In fact, sometimes inspiration could be dangerous because we know in history many people who have been very inspirational who've led people down very dangerous paths, right? So but even though I know political speakers want to be inspiring, they'd like to be that, but that's only part of the whole. So for the writers, the speech was not inspiring. That's not the assessment of others who may have listened, while there might be others who also did not find it inspiring. I take that. That's fine. No problem. And then the editorial goes on to say that it says, well, let me read what it says. So the recent closing ceremony of the Free National Movement Convention was anticipated to be a pivotal moment for the party, a chance to unify and present a clear vision for the future. Instead, what unfolded was a perplexing and uninspiring speech by FNM leader Michael Trindade that left many questioning his capability to lead the FNM and the nation. Really? Based on what? Based on what? What survey? Many? Many as in who? 2 people, 10 people, 3 people? 467 people voted for him. 600 plus people attended that convention. The delegates to that convention. Hundreds more attended. Would they agree with this? Would they agree? And do they count as many? Would they agree that his speech left many questioning his capability to lead the FNM and the nation? Really? That leading up to the FNM convention, when this gentleman was contesting against the former prime minister to lead, those delegates were so uninformed, so unintelligent, that they went ahead and voted overwhelmingly for him to lead them. But then they questioned it right after that based on a speech. Come on, man. Seriously? Really? Now, many? Maybe some people, you know, but really? I listened to the speech. I cannot say that I would have walked away from the speech thinking, this dude can't lead the FNM. That was the judgment? I have spoken to people who have been in leadership, who have massively been in leadership. They didn't walk away thinking, this fella can't lead the FNM. That's how we decide what you can lead? That I didn't give an inspiring speech, so therefore, I cannot lead. Okay. Says Pintad's address was not only an overlong ramble. I thought it was long. There's no question it was a long speech, but it was an overlong ramble. Mr. Pintad made many salient points in the speech. Granted, they were not woven together. And the Guardian's editorial points is out. They were not woven together tightly in a narrative,
but they were points that were crystal clear to understand. Policy points, whether you agreed with them or not, they were crystal clear to be understood. So they weren't rambles. They were definitely not, to me, they were not rambles, but they definitely were not woven together in a way that would have made for a more flowing speech. Said this performance did little to reassure the Bahamian public that he is ready for significant challenge of national governance. Again, based on what? Based on what? Now, this is where we get into opinionating, because it's not based on Bahamian public. The Bahamian public is comprised of tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of whom are PLPs, thousands of whom are COI and DNA, and then thousands of whom are FNMs. Which set of those thousands were not reassured? Based on what? Which survey? Based on opinion? Okay, I could take that. Say, he went from topic to topic without a coherent thread linking them to a vision. Firstly, it is true that the thoughts were not tied and woven together. But I've listened to many political speeches. Many political speeches. I have seldom heard a speech that says, this is the central vision that I have for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And here is how this ties into that, ties into that, ties into that. Seldom hear it. What you do hear are speeches that produce topics in bunches, talking about crime, talking about violence, talking about infrastructure and these kinds of stuff. That's a typical Bahamian political scene. But to weave those things into one coherent thread attached to a vision in the Bahamas, I have yet to see such a thing in this country. Yet. Doesn't mean that people don't have a vision, you know, because generally speaking, when you talk about this country and talk about vision, that vision is actually not even the most impressive part of anything. It's necessary, but not impressive. Why? Because to know that you want full employment for your people, to know that you want a crimeless, crime-free society, to know that you want broad prosperity for your people, to know that you want modern infrastructure, that doesn't take a lot to think through, doesn't take a lot to think about at all. The real task is how you get there. That's the real task. Well, what strategies can you devise and deploy to get there? That's a real, real challenge. Says his focus on the Progressive Liberal Party's policies had some legitimacy, but they were all over the place. Yeah. Yeah. If you have criticisms that's all over the place, yeah, you go all over the place. What's new? Right? So additionally, listen to this. His shallow treatment of vital issues highlights a serious lack of depth and poor grasp of governance. Really? Like, you can tell how somebody would govern by a speech they give? Really? And like, if you have a long speech, you already conceded the speech was long. You now want someone to be able to go in depth in terms of policy and programs and projects and don't give a long speech. So you want brevity with depth. That's a lot. And quite frankly, I don't see it happening very often in politics. In fact, in politics, in those kinds of speeches, unless you have like an extensive convention, it's seldom that you're going to have where somebody's going to be able to go into any significant detail about any policy measures. And quite frankly, even when we think they have not, because policy details speak to illuminating what the problem is and how you came at that problem, illuminating what the options are for resolving the problem and what the pros and cons of each option are, and then deciding on an option and explaining why you decided on that option versus the other options. You are not doing that in any convention speech in any detail. You're not doing that in no rally speech. You these are things you want to do in your party's platform when you articulate to the public what it is that you seek to do. But at a convention speech, that's a bit much. Ingram never did it. Tinlin never did it. Christie never did it. And Davis never did it. None of them never did it. And they all became prime minister. Minnis was not inspiring. Davis was not an inspiring speaker. Christie was inspirational enough. Mr. Ingram, not so much because of his elocution, but because of his charisma and his political timing, was inspiring for sure. Tinling was exceptionally inspiring in many instances. But Davis and Minnis, they both became prime minister, and they were not the most inspirational people. They were not inspirational speakers at all. Okay, so they're going on to govern. How do we know whether they govern well or not? Because of the speeches they gave, or because of the way they govern? Is it reasonable to say of someone that, well, we doubt you can govern because of the speech you gave, and there's nothing about the speech Michael Pintad gave to my mind that would suggest he can't govern? But what is governance? Governance is your ability to direct and control the organs of the state for the benefit of the people. That's what the Constitution requires. The cabinet shall have the general direction and control of the government. That's what governance is. With accountability and transparency, you direct and control the organs of the state for the benefit of the people. How do you know if somebody could do that by a speech? That'd be a hard sell for me. So I thought it was harsh. And I thought it was unreasonably harsh. But I think that the admonition to find more brevity in delivering speech, I think that is legitimate. I think to find a better way to tie your topics together to tell a narrative that people can walk away with, that's a useful observation and should be taken on board. You know, and if the notion is your vision isn't crystal clear, then make it more crystal clear. Make sure people can walk away and say this is what the vision is. And if you want to tie the stuff to that, please go ahead. I've done strategic planning courses, and I was shocked when one of my strategic planning instructors said, you know, vision isn't actually the most important thing. And I was like, what? And they gave their reasons for it. Now, of course, the people who read the Bible says, my people perish for, without a vision, it says the people perish. But that word vision is not the same word vision that you and I think about at all. Right? That's not what it is. Not the same thing as we often tend to ascribe vision to. Vision there is a discipline necessary to achieve God's ends, because the vision is God's. you in God's work, you don't need to come up with no vision. God has his vision for his planet and his people. What you need is the discipline. That's why the disciples of Christ are called disciples, people who are coming into the discipline of Christ. So they're in the same thing as coming up with some fancy, lofty platitudes of outcomes that we then say we are chasing. That is not what that means, right? But it is useful to our vision. It's useful to be able to let people know where you're going, but it's not the most difficult thing in the world to get, actually, especially when you lead in a country, because we know basically what we would like the outcomes in life to be. So, but you know, if I'm PennDOT, I listen, I read, I don't take these things personally. I don't let them juke me in the heart. I don't carry no grudge or anything of that nature. If there's some inkling of truth I can extract from a thing, I extract it and I seek to help it build me. And then I move on to the next thing, because ultimately the only people that matter in terms of the outcome for you in the election are the voters of the country. And they have to decide. So even if they read an editorial, you have got to be able, by virtue of all your conduct, not in just one speech, to persuade them as you persuaded the delegates overwhelmingly to support you. And that's really the bottom line. Every single leader in this country, whether it was Davis or Christie or Minnis or Ingram or Penlin, have been subject to critique by editorials in this country, by letter writings in this country, by talk show hosts in this country, every single one. And their fates were determined by the people. And the people determined it, ultimately, by the way they observed your behavior, your conduct, etc. On the margins, these things might matter, but they don't matter in the main. And so you just gotta stay focused and do what you have to do. And that's for him, for Davis, and for anybody who is in political leadership in this country. It's Texas. Ingram is still inspiring. This is what is killing them. Yay. Well, he's inspiring to some. You know, to people who are opposed to him, he's not inspiring at all. But they know he's inspiring to lots of people, and so that bothers them, right? But he's not inspiring to everybody. The Tribune's take was PennDOT's bold plan after landslide win. The audience pummeled FNM's reject Minnis. And so he was able to get some good headlines in the end. Stex says, every leader at one time had to be in that position where they never led a country. Most people before they come to lead a country never led a country, and nobody can tell whether they could lead a country or not. And even after they come to lead the country, apparently, we have judged. Christie came to lead the country for the first time, and after that, people decided he couldn't lead, and they kick him out. And then they let him come back again. Ingram led the country for two consecutive times, then they kick him out, and then after that, they let him back in. Celinda never led a country before he led a country, and nobody knew whether he could lead the country or not. Right? Mind you, his ability to speak, et cetera, was important in convincing and persuading people of it. You go read them speeches Celinda and them gave. They weren't filled with any detailed, extensive policy pronouncements. Where? In what world? You're trying to get them bite-sized information so they could walk away and believe that you are the person they want to follow, right? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Zila Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, Visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Hey, Dunkin' fans, get ready to celebrate the sweetest day of the year, National Donut Day, June 7th. For one day only, Friday, June 7th, enjoy a free donut with the purchase of any drink at Dunkin'. That's right, your favorite coffee, iced tea, or frozen drink gets even better with a delicious donut on the house. Choose from our mouth-watering lineup, classic glazed, chocolate frosted, jelly filled, and more. There's a perfect donut for everyone. So mark your calendars and head to Dunkin' on June 7th, because at Dunkin', we make every day a little sweeter. Don't miss National Donut Day, Friday, June 7th.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from on 242 from the Family Islands, 300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, "Hey, Brother Lang, I must agree that the editorial is overly critical and almost comes off as an intentionally harsh review of Mr. Pintard. As to how the editor can come to all these conclusions based on a speech to his party caucus is crazy to me." This text says, "I have no clue how he'd govern. I'm hoping he does very well. What I want to see over the next 2 years is preparation. I want them to get away from swearing in. Give us time. We've never done this before. Get there and on day one, bills, well thought out bills on the table." Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, how do you judge leadership? It is a huge mistake, to base leadership on speech giving. Huge mistake. It is very useful and helpful, particularly in politics, to be articulate, to even to be organized in your thoughts. But that does not leadership make, I'm sorry, it does not. There are very many gifted speakers on planet Earth. You can't put them to head, no organization. And there are many ungifted speakers on planet Earth, and they can do an excellent job leading organizations. Why? Because leadership is about knowing, determining where an institution, organization, group, team is going first. What is it that we are seeking to accomplish? Knowing that crystal clear first. And knowing, listen to me carefully, this is not about speech giving. Knowing that in order to accomplish that, a team of people must do it. And that my responsibility as leader is to influence those people to get done what must be done in order to accomplish the mission. That's what you are seeking to assess in the person you are leading. A speech can't tell you that. It might give you a hint of something, but it can't tell you that. A speech tell you, can you influence these groups of people to move in a direction that you believe you ought to move in? Well, here's the thing. Michael Pintard convinced 460-some people in the FNM convention, the delegates, to go with him as party leader. Okay, well, that's one something. Of course, that's not the only thing. This man has led many, many, many things, right, in his lifetime. And so he shows something of an acumen to influence other people, okay? So this is not about, that's not about speech giving.
That's about your ability to work with people. That's about your ability to empathize with people. That's about your ability to resolve conflicts between people. That's about your ability to guide and direct people. That's about your ability to help train and develop people so that they can perform in their task. There's many things that we teach about, that we lecture about, that we train when we are talking about leadership. And speech giving is but one component of them. I just finished a 10-month, I'm finishing up a 10-month long program with our young people on leadership. And our sessions were about vision, goal setting, planning, execution, strategy, ethics, these kinds of things. Speech giving, public speaking, is but one component of it. Emotional intelligence is something we teach. We try to help people understand. We talk about personality. We talk about styles of leadership and all these kinds of things. We talk about problem solving and conflict resolution, crisis management, and all these kinds of things. Speech giving, but one component of it. Now, in politics, important because you have to speak to people. You have to share your thoughts. And you do not want to sound like you're rambling, for sure. And you don't want to ramble. You don't want to be incoherent, for sure. You do not want to sound like you have disjointed thoughts that cannot be married together, because it doesn't come across as well. But to make an assessment of your leadership capacity on the basis of a speech, nah. We're not doing that. Not on a good day. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us. We're going to take another break. Pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back. All right.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Happy and angry at the same time? The Angry Whopper and new Angry Chicken Sandwich at Burger King Nassau. It's time to get angry and take on the flavor sensation of BK's signature flame grilled beef, spicy jalapenos, bacon, classic onion rings, cheese, fresh veggies, and all the fixings you love. Or try the new Angry Chicken with the same delicious spicy ingredients on a crispy chicken breast patty. Take your taste buds to the next level with the Angry Whopper and Angry Chicken today, only at Burger King Nassau.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a text here that says, much of the confidence in leadership will have to be gauged by speeches and plans if the leader is untested. Deep public sentiment against Davis, he will have to be able to articulate his ability to lead through speaking, interviews, and debates. For inconvenience, repeated nonsense about natural resources discredited him with many people. So I think it's really a big part of the equation for an untested leader. Well, I agree with much of those sentiments to this extent. Mr. Davis is not a person, I believe, who is disliked. Notwithstanding the annoyance people may have with some elements of his governance or his parliament, he is not a disliked person. In fact, he's quite a likable person. And so it is not likely that people are going to have that fiery rage that they had against Minister, against Christie. And so therefore, there's some endearing that Mr. Pintad might have happen in order to win an election, some might proffer. But here's the thing, though. Here is a man who has gotten the leadership of his party and then had his party's leadership challenged by a former leader and prime minister and who soundly defeated him. Now, he didn't make a convention speech before that. He must have been doing other speechifying before that. And he definitely, therefore, has demonstrated a capacity to influence those people to go his way. If you go out in the society, it's not just FNMs who are endeared to Mr. Pintad, right? There are other people who are endeared to him. So the ability to speak on his part is not even in question. His ability to articulate, not in question. His ability to inspire, not in question, based even on his history and professional life. Now, the political presentations being of a quality that can satisfy all levels of the society. See, this is the thing. You're not just talking to the people here or the people there. You're talking to the whole society, inclusive of people who are in the media, who may be a lot more savvy, a lot more critical, a lot more intentional about their analysis of your presentation. So you may have to try to overcome that as well. But let's not forget, though, let's not escape that he has been giving speeches all this time, right? Now, he gives a speech on the night of his convention, and I submit again, as this texter submitted, he didn't say anything crazy. So he didn't sound the way you thought he should sound. Okay, that's one night, and many he shall have, right? And so I just believe you cannot make statements like, and this is the statement, that this performance did little to reassure the Bahamian public that he is ready for the significant challenge of national governance. A speech? Well, I could tell you what would have convinced them he wasn't ready for national governance is if he did lose that election. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I hope you're doing well, sir.
I'm right here, my friend. How are you?
I am good. You know, I just wanted to congratulate Mr. Pintad on his win. You know, Mr. Pintad, it was he run a statesmanlike campaign. Never once did he make any insinuations against his opponent. You know, he always said that whoever wins, he would serve, he would support them. Unfortunately, I didn't hear his opponent reciprocating the same sentiments.
Well, he reciprocated sentiments about supporting the party, not about supporting Mr. Pintar, but certainly he did say he would support the party.
Yeah, no, but yeah, right, but Mr. Pintar said whoever won, if he was unsuccessful, he would, you know, he would lend his support. You know, he would still support the leadership and whatnot. I didn't hear Dr. Minnis say that. I think Mr. Pintard has been around politics and the political arena for some time, and he knows I think he has his hand on the pulse of the Bahamian, sentiments, and some of the things I think that he spoke about, I think it hit home to what I think most Bahamians are looking for in a government, about accountability, distribution of land and wealth and so many legacy things that I think that we have been dealing with. Now, whether he's able to get them done in one term will be another story. If he is successful at becoming the next prime minister of the Bahamas, but I feel that I'm not an FNM, but I think he has inspired a lot of people to hope that all is not lost, that we still can turn this country around, that we can still address some of the legacy issues that we have in this country so we can have a better Bahamas. So I wish him all the best, and I just trust that, whatever the outcome will be in the next general election, that, I hope that we need. But I personally believe I'm 60 plus years old, and I am looking for change. I want something different. We've had a lot of promises, and people, they come, they make these promises, and then like when they get in government, somehow they seem to forget. But I think he knows that the Bahamian people, that if you mess around, you wouldn't be around. And I, he has, if he's given the opportunity, he has to produce. He knows exactly, I think he has his hands on the pulse of what I believe the Bahamian electorate is looking forward for.
Okay, thank you much for calling. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, so good afternoon. How are you doing, Chicago?
Hey, I'm right here, man. What's up?
But I'm right here, my friend. I'm right here, my friend. I didn't get a chance to.
You've been busy since convention.
I know you can try throw a low ball at me.
But guess what, Antoine? People have been telling me you've been busy. I didn't hear you. They've been telling me you were busy.
I was caught up in some stuff that I wasn't able to get away from, although I still was listening to conversations. I wasn't able to participate, right? And I caught a good bit of your conversation yesterday as well, right? And boy, like your Chivago, anyway, I'm so sorry I wasn't able to participate. But let me start out with one thing you said yesterday, and then I'll skip quickly to what you talk about today. But I'll start out with the Prime Minister on today. That'll be my second one. But yesterday, for me, as beyond being a PLP supporter, right? Mm. Because it's certainly not just about that for me. When I take the opportunity to analyze and comment politically on matters of political life in the country and national dialogue in the country, as it relates to the Prime Minister's budget, 2024-2025 fiscal budget communication. The reason why I would have congratulated him, in particular, one of the policies that he pronounced, and I spoke about it on your show, and let me highlight it a little further because it needs highlighting. He spoke about looking at his government, not just wanting to look at, but will be moving proactively towards a fair wage for all of the civil service. I think that is massive. I think that is massive, Shivago. And that would be one of the key reasons why, amongst one or two other reasons, but that would be one of the key reasons why I would have extended my congratulations, because that Shivago, and Prime Minister Davis didn't provide much details, right? Which I also spoke to when I commented on it on your show a couple of days ago, or whatever day it was.
Anton, let me just say, because you, before you ride, you know, that we had on the news break. So I don't know if you want
to. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we had on the news break.
I can try and call you back. I really hope I can get back on the next side, because I really want to say something about what you spoke about today.
Call in early so we could make sure. We get you in. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news and discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. The Guardian's editorial ended with these words. Listen to this now. As he has often displayed, Pintard tends to speak without fully grasping what he is discussing. Now, with the greatest respect, I listen to Michael Pintard a lot, not just now, but in the course of his lifetime. And to me, I cannot fathom where that statement comes from. That he, as he often does, that to me is incredible. Saying that is a dangerous trait for a national leader. Well, it is. It would be a dangerous trait for a national leader if you substantiate that that is true. Like how could you tell that a person doesn't have a grasp of an issue? Any number of people speaking on issues. Prime Minister Davis has done it. Prime Minister Minnis has done it. I haven't seen Ingram do it too often. But you have said things and had others come behind him and say, no, you're not seized with all the facts. But can I say that they do that often? I can't say that. Michael Pintard does that often? Michael Pintard, the leader of the opposition? No, I don't think that's a fair assessment at all. And I'd be interested, intrigued, in fact, to see the numerous examples of that. It says the Bahamian people deserve leaders who are committed to deep policy understanding and serious governance, not grandstanding and empty rhetoric. Wow. You all listen to Michael speak. He gave numerous things that he thought could and should happen. Those are his thoughts, maybe even their party's thoughts. his body's thoughts. Some of those things I do not agree with. I think that there are some of those things that have to be refined for sure, maybe even abandoned. But I just, to me, this was just like over the top. But as they say, to each his own, to each his own. Do we have another call on the line, producer? No? This text says, good day, good show. As a swing voter, 41 years old, I like to see younger leadership. Pintard's speech was good, but I'm one of those that don't care about party politics. I think any new government will benefit from a booming Bahamian economy. For me, this next election is about cases like Toby Smith and similar social issues. It would be interesting to understand what other swing voters base their decision on, says that texter. This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I think we err when we assume that a lot of the votes Mr. Pintard got had anything to do with him. I believe the majority of votes were votes against Dr. Minnis. Well, you could make that assessment, except the people voted for him too, though. So, I mean, if you want, if you think it was just against Dr. Minnis, okay. I can't argue with you, but I can't really argue. It's what you think. So these assessments are based on fear of what's to come. They are afraid that Pintard's mass appeal will sway voters from across the aisle, as well as undecided young voters. So discord needs to be the order of the day. Well, according to that last text, Pintard didn't get votes. People didn't vote for Minnis, so they ended up voting for Pintard. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. A great education as usual. As far as I remember, all our prime ministers got experience in office. When Mr. Pintard becomes the PM, like the others, he will get his own experience. The prime minister is for all of us, country. I think that Mr. Pintard will lead and do the best of his ability, says that texter. Texter sounds like the writer was finding it difficult to keep his political bias at bay, says that texter. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, I'm back with Tisha Bago. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, man.
So let me just end, because I want to get on to the PM part of the conversation today, and then I want to end with a combination of opposition leader Pintard, and then draw a comparison with.
I will, Anton, but Anton, you gotta be succinct for me, please.
Understood.
Thanks.
Understood. Right. And so I believe, Shabago, that PM didn't give the details in the communication, right? As I was saying, with regards to one particular policy of what he intends to do, proactively pursue to bring fair wages for the entire civil service. But if he's able to do that, I think he would impact 60 to 80,000 persons minimum, right? And I think that would be massive. Now, getting on to today, with regard to the editorial that you were speaking to, right? Mm-hmm. If it were me, I don't know that I would spend my time focusing on the speech from Pintard more so than I would spend my time focusing on what is happening currently. Because at the end of the day, Shabago, unless there is a character flaw, in my view, that would be the only determining factor that would deter Bahamians from giving support to any political leader in this country, Pintard inclusive, right? Outside of that, the election is going to come down to what record the party that I support, the PLP, the Davis-led administration, what record they have accomplished and left in place that people can point to on the political trail. Because on this upcoming political trail, Chicago, talks alone ain't get it done. The Bahamian people will believe you based on your performance. The only persons that will get a blight as it relates to believability, those who don't sit in office, who wish to get in office. And it will, in my view, it will depend heavily upon their believability based upon their policy pronouncements and how realistic they are and how much influence they can put into convincing Bahamians that they will accomplish them and they will do it for them. That is the blight that someone who is not in office will get, that they can run on. But the persons who are in office, they can only speak on their record.
It ain't gonna be no flambeing. It ain't gonna be no empty promises any longer. It will either be you delivered or you did not deliver. I believe that's where the Bahamian people are in this country right now. I believe Bahamian people have had enough promises and are sick and tired of the sitting government thinking that they can continue to make promises. And Shabago, the biggest example of that just took place, in my view, recently over the weekend in the FNM's National General Convention, where you saw a former prime minister who came with a platform that he will do this. In other words, he promised to do this. And you had a senior who was looking to be prime minister, who sang the right tune and hit the right notes and provided the right messages, in my view, based on all that I've listened to from him leading up to his victory. He had all the right tunes and he was believable. And so the Bahamian people in the FNM went with what was believable rather than the individual who sat in the spot, did not do certain things, but now promising to do certain things. He got an overwhelming victory. Shabago, to my mind, that is a barometer of what is to come in the national general election. National general election will be determined by what you have delivered, not what you have promised. Not what you have promised, sorry. Not promised. If you don't deliver, you're nothing happening. And I will end.
Just before you go, Antoine. Just before you go, because interestingly enough, you know, we are in a very pragmatic environment, aren't
absolutely.
We? Where people like how their life circumstances are and how they connect that to what you have done matters.
Yeah, I want to end with that note right there. Right there, what you want, Shabago. Look here, Shabago. In my view, Shabago, likability of, and this is constructive criticism, okay, for my government that I support, and any government that will come in place, if it's not my government. The Bahamian people will not elect you based on your likability, in my view, Shabago. Why? Mm. Why say that, Shabago? Your likability don't make one difference to the Bahamian people when they got to go to BPL, when they got to go to water and sewage, when they got to go to BTC, when they got to go to the gas stations, when they got to pay the school fees, whether the kids are in private school or in university, when they got to pay the mortgage, when they got to keep their business stocked and going and keep their staff paid. Shabago, your likability will have very little to do, especially in this situation where there's been a lot of suffering through COVID and still coming out of COVID, because we are far from recovering or far from recovered as an economy as a whole. And you can speak to that
Here's the thing, Antoine, to your point. Likability matters more to the untested soul seeking to get a seat, but than to a tested soul in a seat who may not have delivered.
Likability to the person in the seat carries no weight. What carries the weight for the person in the seat is your performance, your record, what you have gotten done or what you didn't get done. When the Bahamian people go to those polls, Bahamian businessmen and women will be looking at, how did you impact the better and the upward mobility of my business? How did you help to position my business to perform better through your policies, etc., or through your taxes, etc.? For the average everyday Bahamian, how did you make it more accessible for me to get better health care? How did you make it more accessible for me to be able to put food on the table for my children? How did you make it more accessible for me to be able to have access to housing, access to education, et cetera, et cetera? And so, Shabago, those things are what, in my view, how did you make it accessible for Bahamians to earn or access wealth?
I got you, Antoine. I got you. Crystal clear. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Producer, do we have another call on the line? Okay, this text says, I like Pintard. I think his speech was good. We know him to be a good speaker. I'm looking forward to hearing more from him. There's only one critique, if I would, and that would be that the speech was broader than I thought it should have been. That was prime time to focus on the party's base, but he spent, in my opinion, too much time beating up the government, says that text. His text says, good afternoon, sir. I agree with the editorial. I expressed that to my staff during our Monday morning talks. In my opinion, the speech should have been
should be one that dealt with fixes to the FNM's many problems. Okay, got you. Okay, we got to go ahead, Carla. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, let me begin by congratulating Honorable Leader Michael Pintard and his team on being re-elected and being elected to the official positions of the FNM. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say, the topic you're talking about, I should say, is still editorial. Listen, man, if an editorial writing is supporting you, they ain't going to say nothing good about you, okay? Let me give you my experience at editorial. When I was director of labor, I was trying to put in an understudy program. And it reached the Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, we had some meetings about it. Chamber of Commerce challenged it. Eventually, it got into the press. And both editorials from the Tribune and the Guardian lambasted me, telling me I'm trying to revive an old 80 Hanna immunization policy. That very same plan I left in place and policy is now being implemented by the present director, but not a sound coming from the editorial. It's okay now. So when they ain't for you, they're going to cut you right down. So I will tell Mr. Pinna, don't pay much attention to it. A little bit of what they're saying have some merit in terms of, I think our leader speaks well. He articulates well. The guy had too much facts to them in one speech. I think he needs to separate his facts and his vision for the organization and for the country. And when he hits the point that he wants to sound on, he has to be a little bit like how Mr. Ingram was. You know, then I remember Hubert Ingram wanted to land a point, even put a little joke behind him. He said something, child, please, or say something sly. Like when he spoke about, you know, the PRB had spies watching the convention or in the convention, I would have paused at one point and said, hey, Anton, is that you? Or Reggie Munger, is that you? That's how ministers used to hit him. I mean, that's how Prime Minister Ingram would hit him a point. So people could know, oh, that's what he's speaking to. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. But outside of that, his speech always have stuff. And he's long-winded. I must agree he's long-winded. But outside of that, he's perfect. Yeah. Nobody perfect. But you understand what he's saying?
You know, one of the things I listen to from leaders when they're giving speeches in those contexts is I listen for the tone of your voice and the sound of that sound as it echoes in that chamber. And I said, you know, I mean, it was dynamic. I thought he was fulsome. He sounded confident and so forth and so forth. I mean, so I was kind of like, actually, I didn't read the editorial first, you know. Some people who read it brought it to my attention to say they thought that it was X, Y, and Z. And so then they asked me to read it, and I did. And I agreed with them because I had heard the speech before. And it is what it is sometimes.
What I admire about this president, you know, Michael Pintard, is that he's a guy that listens to people, accepts your recommendations, even if you don't implement them or don't take all of them. But he listens to you and he'll accept them. He is not the type of leader that thinks he must be the smartest person in the room or the smartest person who knows everything. No. Like your previous call, he knows everything. He has monopoly on everything, especially politics. All right? But I understand how that works if you're paying for somebody. See, the people are in trouble now.
Michael,
they didn't get their man was documented. So they can lick him with the pandemic and lick him with the way he handled Dorian. Now they got to get to work. They can get to work now. Anton said one or two things that has a bit of merit in terms of people will say they support you based on how they feel at the end of the day.
That's a lot of merit.
Yeah, yeah. And so sometimes he's objective, I must say that. Even though he makes it perfectly clear he supports the PLB, you can tell he's well-read, you can tell he gets information from where he needs to get it from. But when he comes across whatever he says, gospel, you know what I mean? That's where he's coming from. Whatever he says, gospel. You can't challenge it. You know, let me say this about
Michael. Michael has one of the most essential traits of leadership. He is an empathetic person. His ability to listen to somebody and to
feel what they feel and to be moved by that is unlike what I have seen in too many people who are in leadership. And I've told that to him many times.
Yeah, I can support that. I thought what the convention was good. It was very planned. Persons had no problems in voting. Even though you could feel a bit of tense from the small supporters of the former prime minister, Dr. Minnis, but there was still a bit of socially, so people socialized a bit. I'm going to have their heads hang down because they knew they'd lost, you know, and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if your one goal and ambition or objective is to be the next government of the country, bury that hatchet. Let's get on with the work, man. That's what you have to do. There's a lot of people in this country who are not fully satisfied with what's going on. I think the government, this president, I'm going to go off a pretty good start. When you increase the minimum wage, certainly I admire Minister Pierre Glover and her way of always ensuring that the civil servant for the most part is being taken care of. She does her endeavor best to get things out in a timely fashion. Sometimes I believe she must have seen my blueprint. She's really an effective minister. I want to other effective ministers.
They definitely have some bright spots and some achievements that will go to their credit. I mean, if you look at the budget's performance to date, you cannot argue that the numbers, the metrics are going in the right direction. You can't argue that. You could argue whether you think it should go in that direction faster or better or more, but it's going in the right direction. And that's good for the country, you know?
Yeah.
So they will have some things to certainly speak about.
Yeah, but when a caller wants to mention that, what price Michael Pintar would have to pay if he becomes the prime minister because people support him, it's the same price that people have to pay right now. Why are you saying they're toiling and fighting right now with the sale of BBS?
What's new? And you don't have any price to pay. You just have decisions to make. There's no price. You make decisions. And if people can't abide by your decision, if people don't like it, or they think they will withdraw their support from it. If you think you're doing the right thing, you do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I say, the editorial people, but if they ain't for you, they can try to use the pen, the power of the pen.
Or they have perspectives. They may not be against you, but they have perspectives, and you don't have to agree with them. And they like everybody else, should maybe asked to justify their perspectives. But it doesn't have to be that they're against you. They may have a perspective.
Yeah, I think things are looking much better. And I just hope that the leader has the ability to continue to unite the organization and persons will come on board. And I hope that we will put the best people in various positions to cause there to be an effective governance of whenever the thing changed. But based on history, every 5 years since 1997, you notice this thing has been changing.
Since 2002,
right. Last time we had this, right. Since 2002. So from then, the last time we even do it, 1997, you created that. So from then, going forward, we've been changing government. Sometimes it was not to the detriment or bad governance, because you bring him only lost that election last time he ran because of road works. People used that road works against him. They were frustrated and getting the wig and being able to be mobile the way they wanted to, or they were used to.
And the economy was not so robust.
Because remember, there was a
great recession.
He had to do that road work at that time to try to cause the economy to be.
But that was one of the things that would help. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, man. This text says, Mr. Lang, it sounds like Anton is upset because Michael Pintard won. Seems like he wished that Doc had. Anton is too biased, alas. Actually, you could not have listened to Anton just now and come up with that conclusion. So I'm going to defend him today. His sentiments today was not about being angry that Mr. Pintard lost. I think you were listening to Anton through previous airs of yours, but not today. Say, laugh out loud, Anton can talk to his heart's content. You need to practice what you preach. You revert to disingenuous behavior when overmatched in a conversation. Stop censoring the truth and allow callers to educate the people on the issues that truly matter. Stop acting like a gatekeeper with trick. Who the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? I don't understand that. Allow the callers I don't get that. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Can you please tell me why the government has allocated $76.6 million to consultancy services in this year's budget, which is an increase of $12.1 million, but social services only increased by $2 million? We have a good security problem in this country that needs attention. Food security problem. I can't tell you why the government did it. That is a question that you are going to have to ask the government. I don't know. But when the cost of the budget debate, maybe an explanation for it would be given. Surely the opposition should seek to get an explanation for it if it's a significant increase. As Texas, we need to stop putting people in power and start empowering those with clear solutions. All politicians do is manipulate and keep the public subdued. Okie dokie. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lincoln being open the people's eyes to our natural resources benefits. Mr. Pintard speak to that in his speech. He said the prime minister repelled it and tore it up, but he's going to fix that. Well, he will not be able to fix it because he can't win no general election until under his leadership. Okay. We got all the prophets and the prophecies and the prophets. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Brother Lang. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I think we should have at least a 2-day of mourning for Dr. Minnis. He's politically dead. He's finished now.
You
at least
so?
2 days of mourning we should have had for him. He's finished.
You know, I've been around politics long enough to know, boy.
That's why I picked that on you, because I know where you are.
We don't get to say who gone and gone. It may well be,
Let me say this. If Dr. Minnis can find a way to mend his differences with Frederick McAlpine and Halston Moultrie, they can antagonize the effort.
Why you want to call this show? Why you want to call this show? Have such utterly fanciful things to say. Let me be kind.
Dr. Minnis, how you think Dr. Minnis would feel now with Mr. Pintard winning an election without him?
Well, it don't make no difference how he feels. That ain't the
issue. So his job is now to show the people that the effort
others feel. How did others feel when Mr. Dr. Minnis won? How you feel don't make no difference? It's how the voters won't vote.
Yeah, but okay, look at you have to look at it now. Mr. Davis have already beat Mr. Pintard twice. He beat him in Cat Island. He come here, beat him in the by election.
Listen to me. You need to wake up. The PLP beat the FNM five consecutive times, and then became the government on the sixth. Twice in a row. So don't talk about history, man.
Ahmad PLP beat them on the 6th.
Who?
Ahmad PLP, Mr. Ingram. Mr. Ingram was in the FNM. Was Ahmad PLP that beat the PLP.
You could call it what you want because almost practically every black man in the Bahamas, almost not every black man in the Bahamas was PLP at one point. There's no FNMs then.
But listen to me. Mr. Ingram came out of the PLP 2 years
and when he came out, he became an FNM. He was in a PLP. He came out and became an FNM.
I got to go on this. You know what somebody said when Mr. Ingram walked into the room on Saturday and nodded his head? Say the crowd went crazy. They know Pintard out. Well, I know Pintard out already won. But they said that was the seal to the deal right there. But what I want to tell you, he supported Pintar because that was an eight-horse race. I don't think he would support Pintar.
Stop your wishing. Stop your wish. Stop your wishful thinking on Ingram. I can. You could talk to me. I can't talk to you.
Ingram is your protege. That's whatever you say about Mr. Ingram, I'll almost believe just what everything you say, because I know you know him well.
Exactly.
I know you know him well.
So we ain't gonna debate that one.
No. But I haven't even tried that. But I'm telling you, I wish Mr. Pintar well, and I am glad that they now
if you really wish him well, you'll give him that vote.
Which vote?
Your
vote. No, man, I can't do that.
Well, you could wish a man well and you.
Yeah,
you
that's
give
all right.
Support.
This could be a fair fight. I just want Mr. Davis and the PLB. This could be a fair fight.
Of course, let me
ask you something in closing. Uh-huh. Are you a politician? You're a senior politician. You, me and you are about the same age, but you're a senior when it comes to politics. You in politics, you have run four times. If Mr. Minnis doesn't get the nomination from Mr. Pintar and he runs in Lani as an independent.
The FNM will win.
The FNM will beat him. But they won't beat the BLP candidate.
The FNM will win the seat.
They will beat? No. No, sir.
When you ask me the question, why are you asking me a question you want to answer for yourself?
Okay, let me tell you why. I asked you a question. Okay, that's your opinion. I have my opinion.
Yeah, you asked me the question.
Yeah. But I don't see it. It'll be like a devil win something.
I got you.
But let me ask you something in closing. Did Mr. With a woman named him, who Dr. Minister to give all that money to, say, feed the people? They just vote in the election, and they?
I don't know who you mean.
Hall of Esco and them. Hall of Esco them.
Oh, I didn't see her.
Well, I guess she had plenty of money. She's supposed to come vote. At least that's one vote.
All right, man. All right, I think we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Two callers, in fact. Go ahead, caller. Hi, go ahead, caller. I was trying to avoid that. I'm sorry. We lost them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
MasterCard. The lady run into me, MasterCard.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. Do we have another call on the line, producer? Do we have a call
Hello?
On the line? Hi, how you doing?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Can you hear me?
Very clearly. Thank you.
The caller who was on previously before they had the break,
mm-hmm.
he was calling all the call stations last week, counting
before
and encouraging people to vote for Mr. Minnis.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
made a case
convention.
For Mr. Minnis that he was
yeah.
the best one.
Yeah.
Now that Mr. Minnis didn't make it, he's saying, you need to hold a wake, you need to hold a funeral, you need to, what is this? I would like to know. Some of you people have no shame. We know who you are. We know what your motive is. Stop it in the name of Jesus. You don't mean Mr. Minnis no good. You don't mean Mr. Pintard good. So stay with the PLP and stay out of the F&M business. Thank you.
All right, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Do we have another call on the line?
Yes, sir. Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Hey, right here, my friend. How are you?
Great. Yeah, I just have a few things to say. Mm-hmm. First, I want to start with Anton, and I know you're listening to me, sir. when you speaking on these radio shows, you're not representing Bahamian people. You don't represent me and you don't represent my family. I heard him saying that Bahamian people are not going to vote according to their likability or according to this or according to that. Anton do not represent the Bahamian people. Anton represent a party. That's the PLP. So he needs to know exactly how to speak and know who he's representing when he's calling these talk shows. That's number one. Number two, Ms. Lang, I want to ask you on that editorial, though. Did that editor do a scientific poll according to his comments?
Not as expressed in the editorial, no.
So that's just an individual opinion?
or collective opinion. I don't know who writes the editorials. You know, sometimes you can have a group of people or one single person. So, but according to the editorial, this was the same, their perspective.
Well, I'll put him in the same boat as Anton, according to my comments on Anton just now, because if that was not a scientific, if he didn't do a scientific poll, according to his comments, I mean, you know, he should say based on my opinion.
Hmm. Well, that's what he should say. An editorial is an opinion piece, right? So it is an opinion piece. Now, the extent to which they speak for the population, the public, well, you could challenge them and say, well, you know, based on what, though?
Right. All right, Mr. Lang, thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Is Texas likability important in politics, my friend? That's why Perry Christie won Centerville 8 consecutive elections. And after all those years, Centerville will still have outside toilets, so it's not. All about performance. You and the PLP man, Anton, are wrong. It's also a possibility you did much in the two constituencies you represented, but lost each time after one term because you were not like a bull. Okay, once again, I'm happy you got your hit in. So you wanted to criticize me, and you might be right. I may not have been the most likable person in the world for sure, but you don't know if that's the reason why. In fact, any number of people told me, you know, Mr. Lang, I could quote you some people, came and saw me, said, you know, Mr. Lang, we like you, but we can't do this. You can't vote for you this time because of the FNM and this, that, and the next thing. So you don't know either what the reason was Mr. Christie was elected 8 times or why he was not elected. You have no idea whether it was likability or not. You don't know if they just liked the PLP that he was running on. Might Mr. Christie have gone in some other seat like Kalani or Delaporte, I mean, or some other seat there in the out east in Nassau that the FNM represented and win because he's likable? So some of you, when you want to get your personal hits in, you also have to remember that people are intelligent enough to see through some of the nonsense y'all talk. So Mr. Christie's a likable fella for sure. But we don't know that he was elected 8 times because he's likable. We don't know that to be true at all. They used to say Paul Adley was not so likable, but he also got elected over and repeatedly with the PLP. So don't try that nonsense with people who are thinking people. Likability does matter, but it is not everything. And being unlikable isn't everything. Sometimes people get in on the wave of the popularity of a leader or of the party or of the circumstances that might be prevailing at any given point in time. And I'll remind you, I won an election, lost an election, won an election, lost an election. So if I was likable, maybe 50% likable and then 50% unlikable. It don't make no difference to me. I don't try to be liked by no human being on planet Earth. That's reality. I ain't trying to get your likability. This text says, I think we read that before. Anyways, I think that we tend to try to reduce all of the complexity of things down to simple things, right? Leadership isn't one thing. It's not dependent on one speech or a set of speeches, even though a speech and a set of speeches can be helpful or hurtful to your leadership run. Leadership is not one thing. It is not merely your charisma. It is not merely your intelligence. It is not merely your likability. It is not merely your strategic ability. But combinations of things in terms of your own skill set. Now, guess what? Leadership isn't even only about your talent and you. You could be a perfect leader and people don't have to follow you. Ask Jesus, ask God, ask Moses. You could be an exceptional leader. Ask Martin Luther King, who had many of his own folk at times
differ with him, at Mandela, who had a team of his leadership in a circle against him when he wanted not to press for the bullet rather than the ballot. So leadership isn't just between you and you. It's between you and followers. And sometimes where you want to go, followers don't. And sometimes where you don't want to go, followers do. Ask Ingram. Ingram wasn't always popular. That's why FNM at times even came into disfavor. Sometimes they loved Ingram and his bull in the China shop ways, they used to call it, and his authoritative ways, they call it. But then at other times, you trying to jam things down our throats. You bigoty. Leadership is never one thing. And it's never one person. It's a complex group of things, sometimes the timing of which is a matter only of fortune. Right? What you have to do as leader is you have to have the ability to look inward at yourself and ask yourself, am I doing the best that I can do? Am I being as honest about my own ability, my own direction, my own clarity as I can be? And if the answer is no, where can I improve? What can I do to improve? What need I do to improve? Are these things that I am hearing reflecting some reality that I need to pay attention to? And you have to be deadly honest, and you cannot be timid. You cannot be embarrassed to be able to say, I am not so good at this. I am not so good at that. And try to shore up that weakness you have. But by the same token, not to shy away from the things you're strong at. To be able to say, yes, I'm a dead good speaker. To be able to say, I'm a really clear thinker. I'm a really good problem solver. No, I don't work so well with people on these kinds of things. You'll be able to say that kind of thing and just keep working to do the very best you could do. And when you are done, man, win, lose, or draw, lay your head down and tell your inner soul, go to sleep and rest yourself, man. We've done all we could do. And let the rest be left up to Almighty God. You cannot permit. Because let me tell you something. There's some people out there on planet Earth who mean you exceptionally well. Exceptionally well. And there's some people out there on planet Earth who are indifferent about you. They're just doing their jobs. Even if they criticize you, they're just doing their jobs. It's not about you. They're doing their job, and they think, and they may well be doing their jobs well. And then there's some people out there, it wouldn't matter if you were the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They don't mean you well. They do not. They want to take every opportunity to bring you down. They want to take every opportunity to criticize you. In fact, some of them are jealous of you. And by jealous, that means they only want to be where you are. And some of them are envious of you. And by envious, I mean not only do they want to be where you are, if they could rip the very heart out of your body to get there, they would do so. That's an envious person. And that's the world we live in. Thank God most people don't fit on the extreme ends of these things. Many are somewhere in the middle, nearer to one than or the other. But just know, and I like to remind oneself, when I'm confronted with negativity, confronted with criticism, confronted with hatefulness, and confronted with this, who am I? If the Savior of the universe could come down and get crucified by people he came to save, who am I? Who am I? And I am imperfect. Mess up. Say wrong things. Say things the wrong way. Do things wrong. Me? I don't get it. Take it personally. For what? For what? You see that human being criticizing you. You see the human being dogging you. You see the human being trailing you on social media and all that. They're only human beings running from their own fears, fighting their own challenges. hoping to God that they survive all that is before them. Can't take it personally at all. And in leadership, because you climb those high, high towers, you got further to fall. They know it and you know it. Just do your best. Do your best. And don't feel sorry for yourself. You ain't no victim. No, sorry, Bob. You put yourself in this position. You sign up for this task. All I'm saying is keep your eyes wide open, keep your ears wide open, keep your mind quite clear on the reality of things. See, one of the things I find that fools people in leadership is you think a vote is love. A vote ain't no love. That's because someone vote for you, smile with you, say they love you, say they care about you, say they support you. That don't mean they love you. Love, suffer it, all things. Endure it, all things. Love is patient, kind, etc. A vote ain't all that. A vote is, in this instance, at this point, at this time, I support you. That's what a vote is. That has nothing to do with tomorrow, and that has nothing to do with if you do something to me and I don't like it. So don't get caught up. The relationship you have with voters, the relationship you have with supporters, is a transaction for the most part, in which they are expecting that you can help advance their cause. And you need that support to be in the position to advance that cause. And if that transaction is failing on either end of the stick, it ain't gonna work out. Love isn't supposed to work that way. So don't get mixed up. These leaders, them, you know why some of them cry when they lose, get vexed when they lose? Because the mindset wasn't clear about what they were in. The Bible says that they came for Jesus to make him king, and the Bible says that Jesus fled because he knew what was in them. You think Jesus was fooled? No, y'all make me king today. You'll crucify me tomorrow. So you can't, this can't be, you can't take this personal, because everybody doing them just like you doing you. Right? Let's be honest now. Let's be clear. Right? You may not, like, if you're in leadership, some have always and desired to be leader. Some didn't think they would be leader, but hoped they might. Some never thought they'd be leader, but circumstances arose and then made it possible too. And then they want to stay there. So you are doing what you need to do to be in a position you need to be in. And people are doing what they need to do to be in the position they need to be in. And if you remember what Pillen said, listen, for them to be what they want to be, for me to be what I want to be, they got to be what they want to be. And sometimes we don't want to be the same set of things at the same time. So we can have some conflict, and you got to deal with that. That's leadership. And that's life. One of the things that I firmly believe is, in the end, leadership is all about character. Competence is important, but in the end, it's all about character. Because competence can take you places, but character can keep you places. And when you can't stay in those places, it will keep you wherever you go. And by character, I don't mean perfection or moral perfection. I mean the ability to absorb the totality of the human experience and not be embittered by it or not be prideful by it. By character, I mean the capacity to understand your weaknesses and your strengths and to try to maximize the one and minimize the other and never lay blame on another soul for the choices you make. By character, I mean finding the capacity never to hate another soul, never to hate one single soul, never to be bitter toward a single soul, no matter how terrible their treatment of you. That is character. And if we can come to that, man, no one can lay hold on you. In victory or in defeat, you will be unstoppable and untouchable. And that's all you need to do. That's all you can do. Right? So, and I imagine if you are Prime Minister Davis, if you are Mr. Pintard, you got many, many days of critical words to hear. You can put, Prime Minister Davis can put them on Mr. Pintard, and Mr. Pintard can put them on Mr. Davis. So if you are a criticizer, you can't be concerned when people criticizing you, because that's your job. That's the business you are in. You are in the business of criticism. Y'all ever thought about that? I wonder if leaders ever think about the political leaders. All day long, you about the business criticizing people. In the House of Assembly, you and they're telling people, oh, this one can't do that, this one ain't do that, the next thing. Oh, you criticizing. Well, if your business is criticizing, welcome to the business. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us. God spares life. We'll be back tomorrow. You all have a fantastic evening. I'm not afraid to take a stand.